Welcome to the Whole Point Podcast. This is Christy.
And this is Serena. And we're sharing how we've learned to see the gifts in the mess and the joys of life, because that's the whole point.
Enjoy the show. All right. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. Today, we are talking about conscious friendship and love activism with Tara Bianca Tiller. And we are very excited to have her here.
Tara is a love activist, spiritual mentor, speaker, and leader in transformation. Her mission is to inspire humanity to awaken and ascend to the power of love, joy, peace, and equality, and to come home to the deepest, most divine truth of their beingness. As a mystic and evolutionary leader, Tara reveals the tantra of life and illuminates a path to love. Tara is known for her compassionate, unconditionally loving heart. She knows the divinity of each person she encounters. Tara frees them to explore life as they choose for themselves, while she invites them to choose to experience their own divine beauty. She combines over 20 years of research, teaching, speaking, and private coaching experience with the expertise in healing in the soul, mind, and body to help people revolutionize their life for success. Her multidisciplinary approach guides people through quantum shifts to access their ability to create life from an entirely different level of consciousness. She inspires them to be a source of inspiration for others in the world and to awaken their divine heart to embody presence and unconditional love. Tara's clients have included pro athletes, professionals, entrepreneurs, creatives, couples, expecting parents, children, and Academy Award nominated actors. She writes and teaches about love, transformation, spirituality, consciousness, tantra, stress management, health, wellness, biohacking, neurohacking, nutrition, relationships, parenting, and pregnancy. You write about a lot of stuff. And we're so happy to have you today talking about your latest book, The Flower of Heaven.
Yeah, it's my honor. I'm so grateful that you guys read the book and enjoy the book, because that's the goal is for people to really be inspired by it and for there to be really a type of enthusiasm for it in a way.
That came through loud and clear. As soon as we both started reading it, it was immediately like, oh my gosh, this book is wonderful. I would love to talk to Tara. So we're so happy to have you on the show today.
That's awesome.
So Tara, tell us, so we can know you just a little bit better as we jump into this, where are you talking to us from today?
So I'm at the base of the mountains of Vancouver. And so I'm kind of at the base of the mountains and basically a rainforest. So it's a beautiful place. I'm very blessed. I'm between basically ocean and mountains. It's a very short distance. It's only like a 10-minute drive, really, in the area that I live from where the ocean goes to the peak of the mountain. And so it's gorgeous. It's beautiful, incredible energy where I live, and just blessings all around me.
Yeah, the best of both worlds, really. Yeah, absolutely. Tara, we like to ask our guests what's something they're doing in their daily routine right now that they're absolutely loving.
Oh, wow. There's so much. You know, I've cultivated a beautiful life of routine, of tools and strategies that have allowed me to kind of come into this beautiful embodiment that I experience these days. And I have to tell you, the thing that I love the most consistently, that I do the most, is every day when I wake up, I say, thank you for this beautiful day. And I feel the gratitude and the beauty of the day already before me. And every day is a beautiful day. And it's incredible just how recognizing the beauty of the day can really set the tone for each day. And then, of course, your whole life. And then every day is like a beautiful day in your life. It's really one of the most powerful things that I do in anything of all the practices that I implement in my life.
And I love that because it's so simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anybody can do it, right?
Yeah. Anybody can. Is there a book or a TV show or something that you are watching or taking in right now that you're really resonating with that you'd like to share with our audience?
I don't actually read books anymore. I have lots of books and I actually buy them for my clients. Like I get a sense of them. I don't even read them. I'm like, I think this book would be great for you or whatever. I typically don't read a lot, but what I can say is one of the TV shows that I haven't watched recently, but in the past, that really, it really affected me in a deep way was a TV show called The Leftovers.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've heard of it, but
I haven't. Tell us.
Yeah, many people haven't. It's actually this interesting concept of I think about either a third or two thirds of the population just disappearing, and everybody thinking, where did they go? And some people saying, well, it must have been the, you know, apocalypse, and God came and took those people, and the rest of us that are left over are not worthy. It's actually a really fascinating delve into the psychology of what happens when people are rejected, especially en masse, and how cults can form and how people can turn away from the divine or turn toward the divine, or how communities can just dissolve or form, you know, these different factions. And it's really fascinating. You know, I don't want to give away what happens in the end or anything. The first few seasons are really well done. The last season, they kind of shut the show down, and so they wrapped it up way too fast. And so I didn't care for the last season and the way they did it too much, but the way they explained in the end what happened to the people who left was interesting. And so I really loved the characters, and I really loved their struggles and how they kind of came together and they stepped into their path in service in whatever way they were supposed to play their part with each other. And I feel like that's precisely what's happening in my life. And so I feel this affinity to this show. There's so much that's transpired in my life, especially since the Flower of Heaven came into my heart center last February. 2019 was the best year of my life, the most fascinating year of my life, the most profound and most powerful year of my life. When I look back, I can see how every person played a role in both the Flower of Heaven coming into my heart center and every other blessing that I've received since the Flower of Heaven came into my heart center. And the characters they're kind of resistant and they're hesitant to step into certain roles that they're being called to step into. And I know what that feels like. I've been hesitant, you know, up until last year, I was very hesitant to step into the role that I've been asked to step into from the divine. And so now there's very little hesitancy. There's the odd day I go, oh my gosh, this is such a huge mission that I've been given. And how am I going to, like, all the pieces, what am I going to do? And yet everything has been brought to me, or I've been taken to where I need to be. And I would never have guessed the choices that I made this year, this past year, would take me to the places that were precisely where I knew on a very deep soul level that I was headed, but I didn't want to see because it was too big of a, it was so powerful. Part of it can be overwhelming if we actually are given sight into the future of what the bigger picture is. And then we might, you know, go, oh gosh, how am I going to do that? Why me? And everything else. So it's sometimes we're not given the sight, and we land in places where all of a sudden we have great influence and we're doing profound things. I think it's because we would scare ourselves away from it if we knew too much information.
That is such profound wisdom right there, because we're all looking for, I quote unquote, we're all, it seems like everyone's like, if someone could just tell me, like, is it going to happen for me? Is this going to happen? It's like exactly what you said. Maybe if we knew, we'd sit on our couch and watch Netflix and be too scared to take the next step. So it's like spoon fed to us, right?
Exactly. And it's fascinating because, you know, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I think maybe I should. This is the first time publicly that I've spoken about, although The Flower of Heaven, you guys have read it, I've been really blessed with a book that's come through me from the divine. One of the things that the divine talks about is that spoon feeding. It's something that I learned even when I was a student of a spiritual master years ago. One of the things this teacher said to me was, you can only take so much light. Like I can bless you with tons of light, but it would affect you physically in a negative way if I blessed you too much. You need to integrate little bits at a time. Your body needs to acclimate to it. Your mind needs to acclimate to it. Otherwise, you could go crazy, or you could have physical problems. And it's really fascinating. And so he taught me a process of every day bringing light into the divine light into my body through meditation and Qigong and other things to actually prepare myself to be able to. And that's what's been going on for 20 years. I've been preparing myself to get into this this embodiment that I've been blessed with. But the divine, even in this transmission that I received from the divine, said, even when you are this you're shining with love, and you are the embodiment of love, and you are in a place of incredible gratitude for your divinity and everything else, you cannot force it on people who aren't ready. The divine showed me the image of a baby. And if you go to feed a baby, they have these little spoons when you go to first feed them. It's not a lot that they'll take in. And if you give them too much, they'll spit it out or they'll throw it up. And it's the same thing with people who are spiritually not ready or aren't ready because they're in a trauma state or a, you know, some sort of protection state or closed down state. You cannot force love on them. You cannot force transformation on them. And it has to be in these little steps where you recognize it's too much. It's too overwhelming at times.
So I hope so much.
When you were stepping into, you talked about getting the download for the book and being like, am I feeling too big for you? Was that little steps, or was there a moment when you're like, okay, I have to say yes. I have to do this. I have to start typing.
Right. Well, with the book itself, The Flower of Heaven, that book was fairly easy. I actually was writing another book. I won't tell you the title because I still might publish it. While I was working on it, 75% done, The Flower of Heaven came into my heart center in a meditation that I was doing. The seed dropped in when I set this beautiful intention for God's light, the Holy Mother's mentorship, the Divine Son. I asked God, I'm like, God, please mentor me. I'm surrendering to your mentorship on surrendering to you. Like, just allow me to go even deeper into surrender. And the divine prompted me and basically said, would you like the flower of heaven too in your heart center? And I was like, yes, if it's from heaven, for sure. But I didn't know what it was. I was like, what is this flower of heaven? I had no idea. And I didn't know at the time it was, and I don't want to say too much for people who read it because there's kind of a weaving of a story in the book. Mm-hmm. But it is part of the teaching that the mentorship that the divine gave me was very related to the flower of heaven. And I didn't know it at the time when I said yes to the flower of heaven, what I was saying yes to. But it was an 8-hour blessing that I received. And it was a beautiful blessing. I was amazed every level of it. This opened me more and more. And at the very end, I was shown the cover of The Flower of Heaven. And I went, oh, I guess I'm supposed to write a book about this. And when I got home, for 6 hours, I wrote. I had a client the next day. I had my son. And then it was like 10 o'clock at night before I sat down again and wrote for another 6 hours. And then I had the first part of the book. After that, for 2.5 months, it just flowed. The rest just flowed out too. It wasn't like a direct transmission from the divine in the sense that I was transcribing. It was certainly divinely inspired. And the divine asked me to write the book. All of it's based on divine mentorship I've received my whole life. So when you ask about being spoon-fed, since I was a little girl, the divine has been teaching me. And so I've been being prepared step by little step onto this path. The divine hinted for me where I was headed. And I was like, that's impossible. Like, how is that even possible? And I would turn away from it. But in the meantime, the divine was preparing me. And I was like surrendering and saying, yes, I'm like, whatever you want, I'll do whatever you, however you want me to serve, I'll serve. That's my goal in life. My reason for existence is to serve the divine. And in the flower of heaven, one of the things that the flower of heaven is most about is about serving our brothers and sisters in the world, serving each other. For me, when I serve everyone in the world, when I serve a one-on-one person, when I serve even assisting nature, I'm serving the divine. That's my embodiment, is in service to the divine in whatever way I'm guided to serve. And when I rest into my divinity, when I rest into mentorship with the divine tells me, go over here, do this, give that person that, help that person with this. And it's really clear, and I just rest because there's nothing I have to even decide or do. I'm just moved. I'm guided. It's revealed the names of books. And so each step is given to me, which is really helpful. I don't get all, like, I had no idea what was coming in November from February, but the divine gave me step by step by step by step by step. And then all of a sudden November went, surprise. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. And when I look back, I go, oh, you gave me all the steps to get here. You know, not just this past year, but through my whole life. part of it is sometimes we don't even know why we're learning what we learn. Sometimes we struggle in a place that is, there's so much suffering. And I experienced, if you read my book, I mention a little bit some of the suffering that I experienced, but I suffered hellish states and really dark nights of the soul. And I have experienced incredible anxiety and trauma and PTSD and everything else. And my childhood was not an easy childhood. However, when I look back, I just have joy for the whole thing, because I can see how every piece of it prepared me to have compassion for the world, to serve the world, to really be able to work with people at really deep, dark levels of where they're suffering the most or feeling stuck. I feel so grateful that even though those trials and those teachings and that mentorship was harsh, super harsh, I go, wow, thank you so much for giving me this bigger perspective and concept. I know what it feels like to suffer. So I really can connect with people when they're suffering and not get lost in their suffering, because I'm fortunate. I'm in this place where I'm free of the influence of their suffering and my own. It's almost like my past is, in this life, is like a past life, such a different state of consciousness that I'm experiencing currently in my life.
Tara, you just mentioned something, this freedom from influence, which there's actually a meditation in your book, and I've been practicing it since December in the mornings. It's very quick, which is lovely. I just added it on to my meditation practice. And it's this idea of choosing to accept the room. You're choosing to be free of the influence of others and free others from your influence. Can you explain to our audience exactly what that kind of choice does for somebody and how to embody that choice, or how you embody that choice?
Absolutely. That beautiful teaching is a teaching that comes from a spiritual master named Master Dien Vimal. And I learned it years ago, and it's a slightly different version from what he teaches. But when I heard it, the first time I heard it, I went, wow, this is revolutionary. And so I started to practice it immediately, and it changed my consciousness very profoundly, very rapidly. And then I started to teach it to my clients. And that's why it evolved over time, because I've been teaching it and I'm like, well, actually, I think it would be better this way, and it needs a little bit of this. But what happened was, when I first started to apply it, and to kind of give, let me give a little overview for people who are listening, freedom from influence is absolutely a choice, as is everything in your existence, whether you recognize it or not. If you're feeling anxious, or you're feeling judgmental, or you're feeling not good enough or anything else, it all comes from expectation. It all comes from false beliefs and lies that you tell yourself. And so if you can get into a state where you can accept reality as it is, and you can accept everybody else as they are, it's so relaxing, it's so freeing. To judge people, to expect things from people, and then to be disappointed is so exhausting. And so when you get into this state of choice, where you choose to accept reality as it is, you choose to free the world from your influence, what's happening is you're actually programming your own mind that you are entitled to be free of the influence of other people. So for anybody who's out there who's like, you know, I'm bothered by what this person does, or I'm controlled by what this person does, or I'm so deeply affected by this, or I'm reactive to that, or I've got all this influence from my childhood, or when I go to work, my boss really grates me the wrong way, or I feel insecure. If you have anything like that, freedom from influence is so powerful, because basically you start off by like accepting reality as it is, but simply saying, I choose to accept the room as it is. It sets the tone for your mind. Then you go into, I choose to free the world from my influence, which a lot of people would be like, well, why wouldn't I just choose to be free of the influence? If you actually don't first free other people, your mind says, we have a rule that people can't be free of influence. You have to choose to free everybody else. It's first yours to give the world. And then when you do that, your mind will get on board and say, now you can be free of the influence of others. And then that's the next statement. But to get there, first you have to understand freeing everybody else from your influence means you accept that everybody has free will. Free will is given to us by the divine, which means we can do anything we want that happens in reality. Otherwise, if the divine didn't allow it, it wouldn't exist. So that includes terrible things like rape and murder and everything else. There's severe consequences when we act in those ways, but we are given free will to do those. That's an incredible gift the divine has given us. If it's not paired with divine wisdom or compassion, then it can go sideways very quickly. But when you get to the place where you recognize that everybody gets to choose, then you can be in your own power and you can choose. And then you can choose from a place of wisdom and compassion if you choose. Nobody has to choose to hurt anybody else. But there's incredible freedom, because then you actually truly can stand in freedom to choose for you. And what it does is it rewires both the brain and retrains the mind. And if you do it, like you said, it's like a short meditation. It's 5 to 7 minutes. But 5 to 7 minutes every day over the course of 6 months, you will transform your consciousness just by that alone. And just like waking up and saying, thank you for this beautiful day. For me, I want what's fast and what's easy, what's powerful and transformational. And so when I come across these little things, the divine basically goes, choose that. Because I've asked to be guided for things that will help people the fastest.
So it's Tuesday night at your house, and you have a son. Is that right, Tara?
Yes, I do.
Okay. In this idea of freeing others from your influence, Serena and I both are mothers. We have children, and I'm trying to picture how I can further play this out in my life, really embody this, freeing others from my influence and being free of theirs. So we've got homework going. It's Tuesday night. Homework's going. Child doesn't want to do the homework. I want them to do the homework because yada, 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 school, all the things. How does that look for you when you're living that moment with another human, a small human?
Yeah. And that's the biggest challenge as parents. When we are mentors to other beings, we're responsible and we're their guardians, their mentors to take them from one place to another place. We have this incredible responsibility, and we have a lot of influence already on ourselves as parents of how we're supposed to parent our child based on how our parents parented us. Whether we're in rebellion to that because it didn't work, or whether we apply what we think is normal parenting, which is still kind of abusive, or whether we're applying really helpful, beneficial parenting. Sometimes we don't know because it's what's familiar to us, and we don't know actually what's the best way. We just go, oh, that's the way you do it. You know, today we have books, videos, a whole bunch of other things, people, experts that are saying, oh, do this, do this, do this. And there's a lot of great information out there compared to when our parents were parenting. And we have a lot of resources. Sometimes it's like too much information for some people to weed through, like, what do I listen to? But in that, when it comes to freedom from influence, the number one thing that's really important that I can tell you the divine has told me is that that child, first and foremost, it's important for you to know that they are a gift to you. Not because you own that child or because they're your child, because they're not. They are souls coming in, and the divine is gifting that soul to you to mentor, and is entrusting that soul to you to mentor. And so it's really important that you keep intact their divinity as much as possible. And as parents, we are not perfect by any stretch, and I'm certainly not a perfect parent. I make lots of mistakes. But one of the number one things in parenting is to set up a relationship of respect between your child and yourself. Because when you do that, your child actually will listen to your mentorship and trust your mentorship. For example, if they don't want to do homework and they need to do homework for many reasons. One, you don't want them to fall behind. You want them to pass their tests and everything else. But they may be like, I'm feeling overwhelmed, or I absolutely don't like this subject, or why am I doing this anyway? They may have lots of different resistances to it. If they trust your mentorship, and if you say, listen, I know this is not always easy, but I know you can do it. I know it's not always easy, and sometimes it's even boring, or whatever it is. You can actually ask them, what is the resistance? That's the best way, is to find out what is the resistance within them. And then to take it and say, basically show them you hear what they're saying. Like, I hear that this is difficult for you, or I hear this is boring for you. And it's really important to complete it along with your peers because you're in a particular class. And to move past that class and to go to other learning opportunities, you have to have foundational classes. Like you have to go step by step. And if you don't do your homework tonight and then you don't do it another night, you fall behind and then you may not be able to complete this step. That's really important to go on to the next step. Honestly, sometimes that's what just a child needs. They need to understand the why. Like, why am I doing this? And to be able to explain to them, since my child was able to speak, even before he actually could ask me, I understood this because of the work that I do with rapid transformational therapy. When I would take people back, the confusion, there was always confusion at the root of an emotional conflict, and they never understood what was going on. And so when my child was born, I would narrate everything. We're going to do this, and we're doing this because blah, blah, blah. And then when he was a toddler, he would say, like a typical toddler, why? And I never said, I don't know, per se, or enough questions or enough whys. I always answered the why, because there was a reason. He's wanting to figure something out. And when children also get into trouble, what happens is they're learning about existence, and they don't have that same full picture that we do. We think they do. We just like assume they know what we know at times. And then they do something like not wanting to do their homework, or something even worse. Maybe they bully another child, or they hit a sibling, or they do self-harm or anything. And we might go into punishing them rather than trying to help them understand why it is they would benefit from taking that step. And so I do my best when I'm mentoring any person, including my child, to not be like, you have to, you should, because one of the things the divine has taught me is that is a type of enslavement. And so when children get enslaved to they should or they have to, then they're not making decisions based on what's most beneficial for them. They're blindly following, and it's a type of breaking their sovereignty. And so it's really important, and it's kind of like a practice that the Japanese do. It's like you need to onboard your child into actually feeling good about studying, getting their homework done, or doing chores, or whatever else. So I hopefully that kind of gives you a sense of that. Yeah. But really important is to allow that freedom for them to decide for themselves. But for them to decide for themselves, you have to give them the opportunity to see the benefits of it in some way. And that takes time. But then it's set up for the next day and the next day and the next day. And all, you know, they're intrinsically motivated to study, and then you're not fighting with them every day about it.
And I think of what you were saying, that intention to not influence. I think we do it easily with other people or business associates or even family members. But with our kids, I think there's that feeling of ownership. And what you described was that you're free from having all that responsibility. Whatever they do is my responsibility. Whatever their behavior is a reflection of me. You're separating that influence of them on you, and then your influence on them. You know, that mentorship role, what you just described, was perfect. Mm-hmm. They're free to be them, their own entity.
Right.
It's like the little disclaimer that should be tied to their toe when we take them home from the hospital. It's like, by the way, just a couple quick pieces of advice. Like, I see you, you know, from Tara Bianca Tiller. Thank you, with love, you know, blessings to you. That would have been very helpful.
Right. Well, that's why I was writing this other book when the Flower of Heaven came in, because I was like, people need some guidelines when they're having children. And so I'll probably eventually publish that book anyway, because when I told some parents about it that we're expecting, they were like, I need that book. I need that book.
Yeah. I mean, I was raised without a mother figure in the home. So when I came into motherhood, I was like, all right, well, we're just going to make this up as we go. We're going to look for good resource books and then also model some of the good role models in my life. But, you know, we're all looking for a little bit of a manual. What you offer is more of that idea of who is this human who that you're going to let be themselves, and how can you basically begin to extract yourself from that cultural role that we've all been put on, that ownership role. It's beautiful.
Right. And I think that as parents, we come across this. I know my son said to me one day, he's in grade one, and he said, "Mommy, I really don't like going to school." And I said, "Well, why is that? What's going on?" And he was like, "I'm just really bored." It's fascinating because I actually had already sensed this a few days before, that he has this beautiful impulse to play in a way that's really sophisticated. And I said to him, well, what about recess? And he's like, "Well, all the kids don't want to play the games I want to play." And I was like, this is not an easy thing for a child to feel like they don't really fit in. And he would go to aftercare after school, and there were older kids, and they would play his games because they were like so much more sophisticated and intricate. Whereas the younger kids, they couldn't share that same concept. And so it was really hard. They just want to play tag and chase and everything. And so at first it was really challenging for him. And then even in class, it was challenging. I had to like really get a sense and like take a moment and see, what does this child really need? He's asking for something when he says, "I don't want to go to school." He's not saying like, you know, "I'm done with school. Like, that's it." He's basically saying, "Something doesn't feel right. And I need you to help me make this right. Like, I need some assistance." And so when kids come and they're like, they don't want to do something, if we can hear that there is a request, and if we can get curious, what is it that they need? What is it that they're not getting? And they may not know, because they don't know anything about life. They don't know what's possible. They don't know what resources are out there. What I ended up doing is going to his teacher and saying, "Can you give him extra work?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'll give him like an extra book. I'll give him extra assignments." Well, he came home and he was like, "Mommy, I got this extra book and I've got all this work to do at school. I love it." And I was like, "Okay, great." That's all he needed. He needed to be like not sitting there bored, because he's already done what everybody else is just learning. He has this ability to actually stay in class and stay in a state of engagement. And whether it's the younger or older, and since teens run into this a lot too, where they go into resistance about going to school, they're like, "What is the point of learning all this math? Or what is the point of writing poems?" Or, you know, and they really, it's more of a kind of an existential dilemma. And so then you have to go to another level with them and understand that they're actually going to these really profound states of purpose in life, which is very, you know, they're becoming conscious of living in a purposeful way. And instead of shutting them down and like, just do your work, just get it done, or picking fights with them or fighting with them about anything, is really like, what is it they need? What are they questioning? What can I learn about who they are so that I can bring in whatever resources are best for them at this time in their development? Because it changes, like, as any parent knows, like all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, great, that helped." And then like 2 months later, you're like, "You need to do something else."
Yeah. Next level.
Hey, it's Christy and Serena here, just popping in to let you know we would love to chat with you.
We both offer free consultations with no obligations. If you've ever wondered if working with one of us might be the right next thing for you, hop over to our websites, serenatalbot.com and christybartelt.com.
Now back to the show. In your book, you talk about the mystery that calls to all of us, that feeling that life holds more. And tell us what you've found on the other side of that. And maybe it pertains with your kids, or maybe it's a separate thing, because this book is about friendships primarily.
That's right. So the book is about actually opening your heart in a very profound way with the divine through conscious friendships and love activism, which is the... Basically, love is one thing, like an idea for a lot of people and a felt state for some people. But the truth is when you really come into the embodiment of love and you align with the divine in that, you can't help but be active in it. If and when you become active, you step into that role, you understand that it means being there for a friend, or whether it's like a phone call or going to help them, or being there in your community for people or people in the world when trauma happens en masse, you know, in countries or environmental situations. It means being active lover of the world and making decisions if you're in charge of corporations or or even in charge of countries or municipalities or in charge of school boards or whatever else. The mystery for me, I know this is kind of like an interesting segue, but for me, the mystery of existence or the mystery of the divine or the mystery of myself has been that beautiful poetic call within my heart. And I really began life with profound questions. I wanted to know how all of this started, why all of this exists. Who are we? Who am I? Why am I here? So those questions that I started to ask myself when I was about 6.5 years old were very profound questions. And I understand, like, if I'm asking those questions, my sons and other children are probably to some degree asking those questions, maybe not as sophisticated as that, but here very profound states of consciousness can occur at very young ages. And all of us have questioned, I imagine. Like, I can't imagine people not wondering, who am I really? And, you know, people talk about God. What is God? What is that? How can I know that if that exists? I didn't have anybody to answer those really profound questions. And I thought, if there are answers, then it must be the divine who has those answers. And I assumed as a child, the divine would answer those questions. Whereas I know probably a lot of people don't think that that's even possible. It's like in anything in life. When I wake up in the morning and I say, thank you for this beautiful day, I assume beauty. I assume an amazing day. And it is a beautiful day. My mind is oriented toward that. And when I assume the divine, if the divine existed, then the divine would answer those questions. The divine began to answer those questions. And in a very colorful, fanciful, creative, I would even say a type of mischievous type of answering, almost like, I'm going to be playful. I'm going to intrigue you. I'm going to delight you and everything else. You know, at times it was not easy. I was impatient. And I was like, I just want to know. There's an incredible impatience in me. And I think this happens when we're young. Whereas now I'm much more relaxed. The divine's revealed a lot to me. And I love the romance of it now. Whereas it was the same thing as like being spoon-fed little bit by little bit. Then I could embody it. And the other thing is the rushing it, it's quite fascinating. I think a lot of people experience this with anything. In my rushing it, I was finding fault with myself, which would make me fall back. I would go, well, I'm not enlightened enough to receive it, or I'm not ready enough to receive it, or there's something wrong with me. Or for years, I even thought I was evil because of something that happened to me when I was a little girl. And I carried that belief. And that's actually what kept me really from opening up to this, the mission that the divine has had me on. Is up until 2012, I had a hidden subconscious belief that I was evil. And which is really fascinating to me now when I look back. I'm like, how can I believe that? Because of something that happened to me when I was a little girl. But a lot of people experience this, where they get stuck in this place that they believe they're not good enough, or that if people find out who they really are, they'll be rejected. For me, I was really surprised when I realized, oh my gosh, I've had this belief I'm evil my whole life. That's really sad. And no wonder I haven't been really stepping into what I've been asked to step into. You know, that belief held me back. But one of the beautiful things is that same little girl who made one mistake, and it wasn't a mistake because she was evil. It was a mistake because she didn't have loving mentorship. And she so deeply, deeply desired connection and love, and had no one to show her that. And so she made a mistake, and she lied to herself about herself. I can see that now. But what's really fascinating is that at that same time, I recognized the very person God was asking me to be, in the ways I was being asked to serve. I needed someone like me, that kind of mentor, to mentor that little girl. And so simultaneously that I recognized this program that was running in me that I was evil from that time when I was that age, at 6.5 years old, I also recognized I need to be the mentor for anybody who's lying to themselves, to let them know that they're lying to themselves, and the truth is that they are divine. The truth is they are love. The truth is they are absolutely acceptable just as they are. There's nothing they need to do to earn love. Love is automatic when it comes from the divine. The divine loves all of us equally. It's a really beautiful, poetic experience that I had where I recognized this in 2012 when I was pregnant with my son, which is a very fascinating thing. I was 8 months pregnant and the divine was guiding me to do the work that I do. And I was doing it, but I was doing it from a really limited way. And then after that, I'm like, that's it. I'm going to be that mentor that God, that, you know, that God wants me to be, so that people like that young person that I was has somebody who can say, you know what, you're free. You can be free.
And how do you do that now? Like, how, tell us about the ways that you work with people who need that mentorship.
Right. There's so many ways. The most important way that I love to mentor people is actually face-to-face, interacting, allowing the divine actually to mentor them through me in the moment, like in the present moment. And so one of the most beautiful ways that I love mentoring people is one-on-one sessions. I do really deep transformational 6-hour sessions. This is my first session with people. It's always one-on-one is 6 hours when it comes to this deep transformational work. And I allow the divine to offer mentorship. And so for about 2 hours, I just do like a transmission of mentorship before I even get into doing any type of clearing work. And then I go into deep, deep clearing work. But of course, in new ways, this book, The Flower of Heaven, this book, I've had people read it. And as you can probably test to yourselves, it really changes your consciousness when you read it. It takes you through this process. It gives you incredible tools that are easy to start to change your consciousness and to reprogram your brain, the neurons in your brain, which will help you as well. Also, there's a level of inspiration and a kind of like a boost or a blessing. The cover itself is actually blessed by the divine. There's a blessing in the book somewhere, and the book itself, like throughout, is like a blessing as well, in that it changes your consciousness. And I asked the divine at that same time, please, can you do an extra special blessing for the Flower of Heaven? And the divine is like, absolutely, and guided me to do something to make that happen. That book, you know, even if somebody doesn't come and work with me, as you read it, you can start to hear my voice. And there's a beautiful transmission of divine grace through that voice that will really help you come from out of your mind into your heart and to really assist you to open up. And the book is a really good book, even just once you read it, to go back and just open it up randomly to parts. And I've even done that. I'm actually surprised sometimes. I'm like, I go and open the book and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. I can't believe how beautiful that is. And I've written it, but I've forgotten a lot of what's in the book. And the other thing is that there's two places where there's divine where I've transcribed the divine's word. And so the word of the divine is in there. I'll tell you one place. I can't remember exactly where one of it is, but one place is the beginning of chapter 10. From the beginning of chapter 10 to the section on Ho'oponopono, that is 100% divine transmission. I just transcribed it. I did not write that. Mm. And so it's a really beautiful blessing, if you've read the book, to go back and read that beginning of that chapter and to read it. Even though it's speaking about God, it's actually God writing about God and writing about.
Writing a note to myself to make sure I go back and read chapter 10.
Yes, I did too.
And so I go back and I read that chapter beginning all the time because it is incredible instruction and really powerful. That was on forgiveness and reconciliation. Mm. When I received when I transcribed the statements that the divine gives us to help us go into forgiveness, I was really surprised, and I'll give an example. I'll just open the book up right now so people who are listening can kind of get a sense at how simple it is, but at the same time, I would never think to ask for forgiveness for that type of thing. Forgive me for judging my appearance. This is like asking the divine, forgive me for judging my appearance. Forgive me for being afraid of failure or success. Forgive me for dishonoring myself. Forgive me for neglecting care of myself. Like, these are, we don't think sometimes that we can actually ask for forgiveness for these things so that the divine can then get involved and say, okay, yes, you haven't been doing self-care. And so now that you have asked for forgiveness, now I'm going to start to guide you in self-care. And it was like, when I was transcribing this, I was like, my brain, like my mind was going, it was really profound. And there's a lot of times where that happens in that little section that the divine has given me. May I share one of my most favorite things that the divine wrote in this book?
Yes, absolutely.
This is such a beautiful, beautiful section. This is about forgiveness. Some people have a hard time forgiving, right? They don't know how to forgive people. They have a resistance to forgiving people, or they think that they're allowing certain behaviors if they forgive people or whatever. So some people get really stuck. But this is what the divine says about forgiveness, which I love. Okay. So first of all, the divine says, I'm here to remind you that beautiful divine mentorship is available to you. God created you and knows you intimately. God awaits your remembrance of the everlasting unconditional love that is God. If you get caught up in forgiveness, God cannot intervene due to free will. If you want forgiveness to be in your heart, you need to choose forgiveness before God can grant it. If you are harboring ill will or emotional conflicts with anyone and you want resolution from this point on, hear this. God entrusts you to choose forgiveness for both you and the other person. If you believe someone harmed you, or if you've been harmed and you're suffering, this message can be the life raft that brings you to the shore of peace, love, and harmony within you. If someone is mean or neglectful in any way, including your parents, it's because they are lost. If you stay in unforgiveness, you have joined them and are lost with them in illusion. If you want to get out of that lost state, choose to remember your divinity. You, my beautiful, are loved, and you are loved. And then it goes on, but then the divine says, and this is my most favorite part. In any given moment, you can be in the power of you simply by being present in this moment without the fantasies of the past or future. If someone is mean to you, you lose yourself when you allow a thought that you're being hurt or there is something wrong with you. Simply stay with the present moment fact. That person is expressing anger at you or toward you. Stop making it about you. Let it be about their experience. You do not have to join them there, nor do you have to conjure up a negative fantasy about you. You don't have to reject them, nor do you have to reject yourself. You can simply be an unconditional witness to their action.
That's a lesson right there. That's a everyday until it kind of sinks in, right? Because that's a lesson that you have to learn spoon fed bite by bite, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Practice with each person that you encounter. We are always tested. We are being tested, not in a way to hurt us or to punish us or to make us suffer, but to show us, it's mentorship. When we face our karma, it's mentorship from the divine saying, that didn't work. Here's your opportunity to change it, to shift it. This is a direct mentorship from the divine, but the divine basically says, if somebody says something mean to you and you feel hurt by it, you are letting their mentorship pierce you. You're taking mentorship from them instead of from the divine. Instead of from your own divinity. And so when you allow for somebody else's mentorship, when they're violent, then you get lost, absolutely lost, because violent mentorship is not true mentorship. It's not truth. It's a lie. And so if you're in a state of contraction, then you're allowing the illusion to mentor you. You're allowing darkness to mentor you. And it's actually an opportunity for you to go, oh, I just lost mentorship with the divine, or I just lost mentorship with my own divinity. And if I'm feeling that contracted state, it means I need to find out what was the lie I told myself and tell myself the truth. Mm. So it can be a really fast process once you start to learn some of the tools that are in the book and you start to apply them. It may be difficult the first few times you do it, and then it becomes so familiar and it becomes your second nature. And then all of a sudden you're not reacting to people. You're actually really free of people's influence. And really it's interesting because I teach freedom from influence, but that's what the divine is saying. Like, be free of the influence of somebody else's idea. It's not real mentorship.
That's a kind of like the how-to of it.
Yeah.
And that's a message throughout the book of that personal choice and responsibility. Instead of saying, oh, they hurt me, now I'm sad and it's their fault and I'm hurt and it's their fault. It's saying, okay, what am I listening to? Is it true? And do I need to make a different choice? Like, some people, I think, resist that, but there's so much freedom in that to say, whatever is happening to you, it's your choice, who you're listening to, who you're letting mentor you, and the freedom, like I said, like the how-to mm-hmm. of me being free from someone else's influence. What does it look like? Well, it looks like forgiveness and figuring out where we're listening to, who we're listening to, and if it's the truth or a lie. You give like practical how-tos of these ideas that sound really amazing, but then, you know, like Christy said on Tuesday night, how do you do it? And that's what the book is full of.
Full of it. I was so, when I was reading the book, not only, like you said, is this transmission, this loving embrace, basically, but it's also like, okay, here's your loving embrace. And here's also how you can keep doing this. Like, do you need more of that? Like, continue with this process. I was floored by how much you offered in the book as far as practical tools that were easy to just begin applying.
Right. Yeah. It was, for me, there's a generosity within me that is because the divine is so generous with me. Because all wealth, all wisdom, all blessings come from the divine. It doesn't matter in the world, whether it's financial wealth or anything else. And the divine sees us all as equal and entrusts equality to each of us. It's a very important statement the divine makes. Everyone is entrusted with equality. And so for me, because I'm so blessed by the divine, it's not mine to keep and be like, oh, well, I've got to make sure that's my process. And to keep it only for people who pay me to, you know, to help them or whatever else, and to elevate me in some way. For me, it's like the divine's like, here's some blessings. If I want more blessings, I'm like, God, please, if you bless me with this, I'll share it with everyone. And so the divine's like, all right, fine, here you go. And because I understand that people are suffering, and I want them to come out of suffering. I shouldn't say I want them to come out of suffering. It's their choice whether they suffer or not. That's the truth. But if they're ready to come out of suffering, I would want, if I was suffering, I would want someone there saying, can I take your hand? Can I give you some food? Can I do this? Can I do that? Like, how can I help you best for you to feel safe and loved? And it's really fascinating. When I received some beautiful mentorship recently, from the divine, one of the things the divine said is, you want people to know they're loved, show them. Mm-hmm. You want people to not suffer, then they need to feel that actually love is available to them. And it's not enough to say love's available to you. You have to actively show them love is available. You literally mentor them in love by taking steps to show them they're loved. It's a demonstration that like people in the world care about me, and people feel that. People who receive aid or care or help when there's like incredible trauma in their region, they're so grateful that somebody else in the world, and it lifts them and opens their heart and makes them feel so loved. And that's what we all need, is to when we're in states of suffering, to know that we're loved. When we do receive abundance in any way, whether it's financial, spiritual, emotional, doesn't matter, it's really important that we recognize it's not ours. It belongs to the divine. The divine has blessed us. And it's the blessing for us is to share it. All generosity that comes through me in this book or any other things I do, because the other thing I do is I just started a program called the Star Circle Mentorship, which I was divinely guided to do as a type of mentorship for people. It's like a monthly mentorship thing. I pick a new theme every month. And there's like so many resources. It's so generous. It's like one of probably the most robust, inexpensive monthly mentorship programs in the world. And I couldn't help it. I would go to put one tool and then I would like inspired to share more. And sometimes I'm like, I have to like literally stop. I've got to move on to the next month, or I've got to move on to the next project. But I was like, I don't want it to be surface. I don't want people to go, oh, well, that was nice, but it didn't really help me. I want for people to go in on any given month and go, wow, I feel changed. All because it's incredible blessings that I'm receiving and I'm just sharing. I'm like, okay, they're not mine. I get the opportunity to let them land here first, and I not even land, they just travel through and then go back out. When we get into that place, life becomes really energized and alive. You know, a lot of people who know me, I'm going all the time, and there's an incredible amount of sharing that I do all the time, but I'm not exhausted by it. I have to take care of my body vehicle for sure. The divine is like created the nighttime for a very specific reason, for us to rest into nourishment and to heal and to integrate. And so I have to honor that, or I have the opportunity to honor that for my body. At the same time, this level of energy, just even in this conversation, if anybody's been noticing, this is happens to me because I'm in this flow state of receiving divine mentorship, and that divine mentorship flows through me to anyone who's receptive. The more receptive someone is, the more that flows through me, and the more I'm blessed. It's like somebody pulls it through me, and it's pretty incredible. And so it's not like somebody who's just doing and giving and then getting exhausted. And so the blessing in that is that there's nourishment instead of exhaustion.
I see everything you're describing kind of at a stark contrast to a lot of the ways the world is operating, you know, even like an abundance economy versus our scarcity that we see all around the world. And I think we've had a wonderful guest talking about burnout, and you're describing the opposite, where you're taking care of yourself and letting it flow through you instead of taking responsibility. I think of being codependent with people, like my success is based on their results, and you're describing this way to detach from that. And it's such an awesome way to function, and just giving examples and tools and techniques that are so much more healthy than the stuff that we're doing, whether it's parenting or how we view giving and working and how we view even resting. That's what really hit me with it all, is it's this gentle thing where sometimes the world and the way it functions is so hard and push and driven and that kind of stuff. And so with all the tools you shared, do you have a favorite?
I would say my favorite tool of all time is surrendering to the divine. It's not always easy. I can say it's easy. I would say it's easier now for me. But I've practiced in it. I can't say it's always easy, even now that it's more easeful for me. But I would say that the biggest gift that I've received is the wisdom to surrender. That level of surrender where you just say, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. Whether it's in a relationship or a business thing or a dynamic with somebody else, or even, you know, where your life is going, to be in a place where you say, I've not made the best decisions in my life, or maybe I've made mediocre and have been playing it safe kind of decisions, and I am ready for something amazing, and I'm ready to surrender to your guidance, because the divine basically will write whatever story you choose for yourself. Mm-hmm. And this comes back to the concept of choice. That's the other thing when it comes to surrender, is the other technology that is so powerful, and we talked about already, is choice. Pairing choice with surrender, I choose to surrender, or even just the recognition that you have a choice, and that the choices you make, the divine writes that story for you as you make your choices, can really empower you to make better choices and better, like way more fulfilling choices. And
I think of that with your saying, surrender to the divine. I mean, people are looking for that. They want alignment. They want divine feminine. We want to be in the place of receiving. I think of Esther Hicks, like, you know, being in the vortex or whatever. And for Christians, you know, wanting to be led by God, and you're explaining what that's like. And I love that you ask the divine, can you show me how to actually do this thing that's surrendering to you? And all that's unfolded from that is amazing.
And I was going to say, with the surrender, you don't know, just, you have no concept until you surrender to the divine. You have no concept of the beauty of how life can be when you follow what I call, you follow the leader and the true leader. And one of the phrases that I use in the book is, God is the author of love. And if you want to know love, if you want to experience love, if you want to be a loving person, then go to the divine for your mentorship. And this is, I should say, like, for anybody, when I speak about God, because some people won't know, when I speak about God, I'm speaking about that which created everything. And whether you're Christian or you're Muslim or you're a Taoist, doesn't matter. Even in Taoism, they have the concept of God. They don't call it God, they call it the Tao. But that's what I'm referring to, is that which created all of us, that which created everything. And that's what I take my mentorship from. I have no affiliation with any type of religion, although I recognize that all religions are pointing to that which is really in service to us in ways we have no idea. When the divine guides me to be in service, it's because the divine is the ultimate, ultimate servant. The divine serves us constantly in ways we'll never even know about. I've been so fortunate for that to be revealed to me, the myriad of ways that the divine serves us, just to give me a taste of how the divine serves us. And so when you go into servant leadership, or you go into surrender to the divine, it's from that place of the divine then teaches you how to serve others, because that's God's mentoring you to do what God does.
Yeah.
And it's that's really profound. And it's so humbling to know that the divine is the best servant there is in existence.
Tara, on that note, I think that really sums it up. I mean, I don't know. It's like a mic drop moment. We're not going to drop our mic. It's too loud on a podcast, but how can people find you?
Well, the best way for people to find me is go to my website, tarabianca.com. And when you go to that website, I have actually a free guided meditation. It's called Healing Blessings of the Amazon Forest, and which is a whole other topic that's so profound. I have a guided meditation there that's a really beautiful way for you to open into a healing space. And so I offer that for free for people when you sign up for my newsletter. So that's the first kind of entry point. Certainly people can check out The Flower of Heaven, which is available on Amazon. And it's such a beautiful book, the cover itself, for anybody who's seen it. But the content is really beautiful too. And it's kind of a gateway to establishing a friendship with me, because that's really what it is. It's an invitation into co-friendship and stepping into a different state of consciousness and actively working together to really serve humanity and to come into this loving awareness. I'm also on, if you go to any of the social media places, that's where I'm at, but you can find those all through my website, tarabianca.com.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. And Tara, thank you for writing this book. It was a blessing, for sure.
Thank you. Such an honor. Honor to share it with you.
And thank you everyone for listening today as we spoke about conscious friendship, love activism, and so much more.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. Leave us a review, subscribe so more people can find us.
And if you want more information about me or Christy, there's a link to both of our websites in the show notes. And we'll see you next time.